wanted to give you an example today of a strong mother, strong and courageous mother. That's Hannah. Some of you may remember Hannah from the Bible. And she's only found in two chapters of 1 Samuel. But yet they give us a beautiful picture in different ways of a brave and courageous mother. And I just wanted to show you now the scripture. We don't have scripture for the overhead, but it is in your bulletin if you do want to follow along. What I've done is every time you see a couple of dots there, I've eliminated part of the scripture that doesn't really help the storyline or the message. So rather than have like two pages of this, I just had printed out the most important parts. Okay, so this is about Hannah. And we first learn about Hannah in the first chapter of 1 Samuel. It says, now there was a certain man of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and he was an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. Poor guy. Okay, the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And back in those days, it was everything for a woman to have children. That was where she got her worth from, her status. Everything revolved around whether she had children, and especially male children. But Hannah had none, where Peninnah did. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. At that time, that was before the temple, before the worshiping, before the temple in Jerusalem. So the tabernacle was located in Shiloh. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. So she must have had quite a few. So he gave them things to sacrifice, so it could be from them personally, okay? But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. So as you can see, he loved his wives, but I think he loved Hannah more. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So if you can picture this, Hannah goes up with her husband and his other wife, their family, to worship the Lord. But because she had no children, Peninnah, in effect, persecuted her, ridiculed her. You don't have any children. I got them all, you know. She had the status and everything. And poor Hannah, she felt so terrible because of that. And here, from within her own family, she's being ridiculed and persecuted. So she would be weeping. She wouldn't even eat. It was difficult. Very difficult for her. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. This is, I left out some unimportant verses there. So they had gone to Shiloh. So there was a meal. Even though she didn't eat, the family did. Okay. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So there she is standing before the Lord, just weeping, really, with an anguished spirit and soul. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. That was a symbol of a Nazarite. There was a special person dedicated to the Lord. So here she is, weeping before the Lord. Notice, there's nothing in here that says that she fought back against the persecution or the ridicule of her rival. As best she could, she endured it. Yes, she wept. She was in anguish, but she didn't retaliate. Godly woman. And what did she do? Instead of fighting back or berating her rival or doing anything else, what did she do? She turned to the Lord. A godly woman. That was the thing that she did. She turned to the Lord and requested of him a male child. She made a vow. Not a selfish vow. You know how some people are. Lord, do this for me and I'll do this for you. You know, that kind of thing. But really it's because they want something in particular for themselves. Hannah wanted the joy of motherhood. She wanted to have a child. She wanted to have a male child. But what was her vow? Lord, you do this for me, I'll give him back to you. I'm not going to be selfish about this and try and keep him for myself. I would appreciate if you would answer my prayer and give me that male child, but I will give him back to you that he may serve you. So it wasn't a selfish thing in that sense. Yes, she wanted to be relieved of the ridicule and the persecution. But beyond that, she wanted the male child to serve the Lord. Okay. So there's another example of a godly woman not being selfish. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. That's just simply a euphemism for meaning that they got together romantically, okay? I don't need to spell it out anymore. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel. And in parentheses, I put that in there. That just simply means heard by God. That's what his name means. Samuel means heard by God. So her prayer had been heard. And here is this little child, Samuel. So she named him appropriately that, yes, God heard my prayer. He was faithful. She called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So she just wanted to take care of him in the early days, where he needed the care until he was weaned so he could eat on his own, whatever, okay? So she didn't want to go up until such time as he was able to just be left there before the Lord. So she had every intention of fulfilling her vow. How hard that must have been for a mother, having seen the child that she bore and loving him as she did, to still be willing to give him up because she had promised the Lord that that's what she would do. So that was her intention, to fulfill her vow, however hard that may have been. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull, that was part of the offering, and brought the child to Eli, who was the priest there at that time. He was the chief priest. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Eli had known about her prayer. So when she came up to give Samuel in service to the Lord, Eli was there. And he said, "Remember me? I'm the woman who prayed this prayer. And here I am now to give him to the Lord." Wonderful act of sacrifice. I don't know how many mothers today could do that. Give their child up. It's hard. So she left him there. And the child ministered to the Lord. In other words, Eli took Samuel under his wing, taught him things, trained him. And it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod." That's like a vestment of some sort. "Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." So, not only was she faithful to the vow, but she was faithful to her son. She took care of him every year, bringing him a little robe, making sure he had everything he needed, and she would get to see him every year. Wonderful. "And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord.' Then they would go to their own home." And guess what? "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord." It's amazing what the Lord does, because Samuel turned into a very important prophet in the Old Testament. He was a very special person. He was the one also that anointed David king in Israel. There's a lot written about Samuel and how faithful he was to the Lord, how righteous he was, making sure that everything was right that he had responsibility for. He even rebuked King Saul, who was the predecessor to David, for not following the Lord's will, for not obeying completely what the Lord had wanted him to do. Samuel was not afraid to rebuke the king. That could have been a death sentence. But yet, what was important to him was the Lord and his will. And why? All because of Hannah. All because of her and the woman that she was, the godly woman that she was, turning to God in her anxiety and her anguish and pain and suffering, not lashing out at anyone for what she had to endure, but accepting the Lord's will, whatever it would be. She didn't threaten or anything, say, "Lord, if you don't do this, I'm really going to get mad, or I'm going to do this or that." No. She just prayed, "Lord, would you please do this for me? And I will do this in return. I will give him back to you to serve you forever as long as he lives." What a tremendous woman she was. What a wonderful example of a godly woman accepting the Lord's will. And because of all of that, she was so blessed to have a child like Samuel and to grow up to be the man that he was before God in a way just the same way that she was, in a sense, the same kind of faith, the same kind of trust, the same kind of belief, same. You couldn't really distinguish between the two of them and how they related to God. All because of who she was. And because of her faithfulness and because of her actions and her trust, the Lord blessed her, because after Samuel, the Lord gave her sons and daughters. And how joyful she must have been for the rest of her life. Now, nothing else is recorded beyond these passages. She's never mentioned again. But that's okay, because enough of her life has been revealed to us that we can see how much of a godly woman she was, and a good example for the rest of us, and how she lived her life, how important God was in her life, and how willing she was to endure whatever hardship, whatever life brought her, but she would always turn to God, and she was rewarded for that and blessed beyond measure. And now future generations can always look back and they can always talk about her and speak about what kind of a woman she was. And this is not only for women today to aspire to, but for men as well, because she is an example for all people. How godly she was, how faithful, how trusting, and to just follow through on everything that she said, and how blessed she was. So as I say, it's an example for all of us, but I think a perfect one for Mother's Day. May each of us see something in her to aspire to, and trust the Lord to work in us that we can be more like her. Whether we're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. May we be more like Hannah. Let's pray. Father God, you give us so many examples in Scripture. Yes, some are examples of bad behavior, unrighteousness, unholiness. But so many examples there are of godly men and women who are raised up by you to do wonderful things in your name and to be blessed by you in so many ways. Wonderful examples, Lord, for us to reflect on and think about how we might aspire to the same kind of characteristics and traits that we read about in Scripture. And we thank you for those examples, Lord, because we see what kind of people you are looking for to use and to bless. May we be such people, Lord. May we be people of godly character and trust and faith, that we too might be examples to others around us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us. And I pray, Lord, a special prayer upon the women of this church, whether they're here this morning or not. May you bless them, Father. May they become modern-day Hannahs. May you bless them beyond measure. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the godly women you have placed here in this congregation. Be with them, Father. Mature them. Grow their faith. Strengthen their character. And bless them, Lord, beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen.